Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes, and we are continuing our journey through now the radar section of the En Route Academy program that the FAA has. And we are on week 10. Week 10, you know, you're getting towards the end. Okay, so we've got 12 weeks to the program. That means you have 2 more weeks left. And 2 of those days are going to be your radar evals. 1 day is going to be where you choose your first facility. And so you've basically got, after this week, you've got 7 days of practice scenarios left. And so week 10 is when the FAA finishes giving you new material in the practice scenarios. And week 10 is very important. You, at the end of week 9, you started holding aircraft. And in week 10, they continue withholding, and they will give you traffic for your holding pattern. That is a given. That is something that you can assume. It will not make a you-know-what out of you or me. You can assume that the FAA is going to have traffic for your holding pattern every time. So when you put someone into hold, what I used to tell my classes is you do not look for traffic. You find the traffic. And we've discussed the difference between looking for something and finding something previously on this podcast. And it is important. That's one of your main jobs as a radar's associate, radar assistant, decide whatever you want to call it. And you know, finding traffic when you go into hold at your first facility, when you go into hold, which we don't do as much as we used to, but still do, mainly because of weather. When you go into holding, it is your job as the decide to start moving traffic, start, you know, coordinating with the R side. What altitudes are we going to be holding at? I've got this overflight that I can't really get rid of. He's at this altitude. Okay, we'll leave that altitude clear for now. We'll use it after he gets by. And stuff like that. There's a lot of coordination going on the sector. There's a lot of coordination going on with the sectors around you. That's your job. And that is why the FAA makes a big deal out of holding. Okay, so that is going to come up. And once it comes up, you're going to hold, you know, probably every other problem. You might as well just, you know, get used to it. Another thing that comes up are emergencies. And once they present emergencies to you, once you get to practice it, you're going to have emergency after emergency after emergency. You're going to have so many emergencies while you're at the academy that you're going to think that the whole system is broken if there are this many emergencies. Well, it's not. Okay. You will see more emergencies at the academy than you will see in the rest of your career, more than likely. Okay. So, but it is something that is very important for you to learn, and for you to learn the steps, for you to learn how to coordinate with the R side, how to coordinate with the supervisor, how to coordinate with the sectors around you. It's very important. And so they make a point of showing you that often. Okay. You're also going to go through stuff like, you know, taking flight plans, manual handoffs, you know, things like that this week. They're going to show to you. And you will see those, as I call it, when it counts. not just in the practice scenarios. You're going to see it in the scenarios that actually count for points. Okay, so they're very important to get the phraseology, get the steps, get the coordination down so that you can, you don't have to rack your brain as to what do I do now, what do I do now, what do I do now. You want to practice these things to the point where you know what to do and you know the order to do it in. That is that intense focus practice that I talked about a few weeks ago on an episode. Okay, so week 10, they present all the big stuff to you, all the really big stuff. You have to practice the new stuff that they give you. You have to continue to practice the old stuff so that you can focus on the new stuff. It is a balancing act between, what do I practice on? Well, you focus on practicing what you're focused on that day, but you continue to focus some of your practice time on things that have gone before. Okay, you don't stop practicing point outs. I mean, that was problem one. Okay, you don't stop practicing Byerly departures or Vicksburg departures or Greenwood departures. Okay, you don't stop practicing those things just because you're having to practice new things. You may practice them less, and as you get good at them, you can practice them less. But you don't stop altogether. Okay? It's just you are going to focus on the things that you struggle with. And this is where they give you a grade sheet after every scenario. And the instructor, will write stuff on there. Keep your own journal. Keep your own list. Whatever you want to call it. And it doesn't have to be in paper. It can be in your notes in your phone. It can be anywhere. But keep a record for yourself so that you know what you need to focus on and what you need to practice more than something else. Okay? And so that's what that intense focused practice is all about. You have to be intent and intense in your practice, and you have to focus on those things that you struggle with. My tendency is to focus on things that I do well and do those and do those and do those. Okay, it's easier. You can't get really good at something by doing that, by focusing on what comes easy. You have to step out of that comfort zone. You have to focus on what is not coming so easily to you. Okay? And so, this week 10, you're going to, like I said, you're going to get the rest of what the FAA is going to teach you in the radar portion of the en route program. Okay, after problem 10, which is on day 50, after problem 10, there's no new information, no new tasks that they're going to present to you. They've presented everything to you. And what's going to happen in week 11 and at the beginning of week 12 is they're going to throw all this information into practice scenarios for you. Okay? They're doing you a favor. They could just say, hey, here's the information. You need to learn it. You need to know how to do it. You need to do all this and not give you any practice time. They could do that. It'd be a lot quicker for the FAA. They wouldn't have to pay instructors. They wouldn't have to pay you as long. They wouldn't have to have as big a building as they have. And with all the simulators that they have, it'd be a lot less expensive for the FAA. But I can guarantee you, they wouldn't come up with very many people getting through the academy with any kind of reference point when they're going to their first facility. See, one thing to remember is the academy is not your first facility. Your first facility is going to be very different from the academy. Okay? And so don't think that you have quote unquote experience just because you've been to the academy, because I can tell you, you don't. You are going to get experience at your first facility. The academy is a way for the FAA to determine if you have the possibility of being an air traffic controller. It may not, and it isn't, an exact science. I have seen students pass that, you know, may not need to pass, and I've seen students fail that I think, and you know, there would be other instructors who thought that they could be air traffic controllers quite easily. And so it's an inexact science, but it is what the FAA has. Okay. And so you have to understand that this is what the FAA has. They are going to explain stuff to you in the lessons. They're going to explain it to you again as you're going through the practice scenarios. And in radar, your scenario lasts about 40 minutes, 45 if you include position relief briefing, and maybe 10 more minutes of debrief with the instructor. And so, you know, you're looking at pretty much an hour. Okay. Then you get a short break, and then you go into what we call the breakout room, which is basically your classroom while you're in the radar lab. Okay. And while the other half of the class is doing their practice scenario, you're in the breakout room with either the lead or an A lead. And you're going over what just happened a little bit, and you're preparing for the run at the end of the day, that numbered run at the end of the day where they present new stuff. So they're going over the new stuff. They're preparing you for the new stuff. And then you're going to go in and run that numbered problem, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 this week, that has the new tasks on it. And even though you've gone over it in the breakout room, you're going to mess up. There's something about, I think they still have purple paint around the door frames of the breakout room and the labs. There's something about that purple paint that just makes students forget. And the FAA knows this. It's not the purple paint. It's just going in and out the door. The FAA, if they haven't already by this time, if you're at the academy, the FAA makes it very clear. They could tell you in the hallway outside the lab, they could tell you everything that's going to be on a problem or an eval, for that matter. And when you walk in the door, you'll forget it all. That's just what you do. And that's where your practice comes in. That's where that focused, intense practice comes in and saves you from totally forgetting everything that you've been told. Okay? Because otherwise you will. And then slowly as the problem gets started, you'll start to remember, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, I remember that. Well, it's that focused, intense practice that keeps you from dropping down so far. You may drop down a little bit, but you pick right back up. And that's going to be key. That's going to be key when you get into those scenarios that count. Okay? And so, you know, as they've introduced things throughout the lab portion, the problems get progressively more difficult, more complex. There's more stuff in them, more stuff that you're supposed to know in them. Okay? And starting next week, starting in week 11, you're going to end up running scenarios that are equivalent to the evals. There's one scenario, 8B. It's a pretty good scenario. It's got a wide variety of stuff in it. 8 is where you get into emergencies. And so 8B has emergencies. It's got everything. And generally, the instructor demo that you had 2 weeks ago, or maybe that was just a week ago, was, just a week ago, week 9. The instructor demo was a version of AP. Okay, so you've seen part of it. And then you're going to run it on day 49. And then you might run it again on day 51 because they allow you to pick a problem that you want to run. AP gets picked a lot by the students because it has a lot in it. Okay, and then at the end of week 11, you're going to have another what they call targeted training where you get to pick a scenario. More than likely, you're going to pick one of the 11s. At this point, 8B will probably look a little bit slow to you. You know, and so you're probably, for that second targeted training, you're probably going to pick one of the 11s, which I think is a good idea. Now, if there are things that you're struggling with, then when it comes to the targeted training in week 11, pick something that has those in them so that you can work on what you're struggling with. It's an extra opportunity to get some practice with an instructor watching you and, you know, going over things that you've missed before. Okay, so that's week 10 in a nutshell, very high overview, not a whole lot of detail. But once you're in the radar lab, you'll know what's coming up. Okay, they have a kind of a poster on the wall. It may not be totally up to date. It's probably the same poster that was up there 5 years ago or 3 years ago when I was there. And it may not be totally up to date with what you're going to learn each day, but it is a pretty good approximation of it. Okay? And so when you get into the breakout room, write that down. Know what's coming up. Know what's coming up. Stay ahead of the program. Know what's expected of you, okay? And get a head start if you can, okay? Now, like I said, this week is the end of all the new stuff. Next week, you have the checklist eval. You finish up the 10s. You have a targeted training on the first day of next week. Then you have the checklist, and you get into the 11s. And the 11s and 12s are where the FAA just kind of puts everything up on a dartboard, spins it, throws a dart, and, oh, that gets to be on the problem. Okay? So it's going to be a hodgepodge. It's going to be, you know, as if the sector is going red, which means it has a lot of traffic. Okay? Those problems next week are going to be very similar in complexity, in amount of airplanes as your evals. Okay, so get ready. Week 10 is just the last part of the new stuff. You've now seen everything that the FAA has in the en route program, period. Non-radar, radar, you've seen all the instruction. Now you get 2 weeks to prove just how much of it you can show and how much of it you can actually put into action. Okay, and that's what week 11 and 12 are all about. Seeing how much of it you can actually translate into correct actions, correct and timely actions. Okay, so that is week 10. Like I said, in a nutshell, without a whole lot of detail. And next week, we'll go into what happens that week. The checklist eval, I'll just give you a heads up. It's not something you need to practice. It's something you are practicing in the scenarios, in the practice scenarios. Now, you may want to, because I talked about when we were going through computer message a couple of weeks ago, there are at least two different ways of doing just about everything on the keyboard and with the computer. Okay, and so you have to find one that works for you, but then you also, for the checklist eval, you have to be able to do the other one as well. Okay, so they have a lab by the breakout rooms where you can practice keyboard entries. Use it, especially if the keyboard entries are tripping you up. Use it. Okay? Practice. Not just for the 5 points of the checklist eval. I mean, that's important. But be good on the computer, because when it comes to those three runs that count, the better you are on the keyboard, the less you have to worry about. Okay? So, practice. Keep a record of what you're struggling with. Practice those things that you're struggling with. Practice with each other. Practice with people in your class so that you can all get better. Continue to practice with people in your class. Practice phraseology. When the emergencies come up, practice how to handle an emergency. Practice the strip marking. Everything. Practice with each other. I've had classes where I sat there in the breakout room and I looked at them and I said, "You guys are still practicing together, aren't you?" And they're like, "Huh?" I mean, we're 3 weeks into the radar portion. We're a week into the radar lab. They're not practicing with each other. I'm like, yeah, you need to practice together. Practice phraseology for pointouts. Practice phraseology for manual handoffs. Practice the phraseology for handling emergencies, military change of destinations, going into holding. Okay? Practice it with each other. You have to. You need to. And if you do, I guarantee you, your percentage, your chance of passing goes way, way up. It's amazing the difference between if you're trying to go through this, even the radar, alone versus with your class. Help each other. It will help you. I guarantee it. 100%. I guarantee it. If you are helping others in your class, it's going to help you. If you're struggling, get with people in your class, because I guarantee you they're struggling on some things too. Help each other. Help each other. Okay? Now, having said all that, if you have any questions, you have anything that you can't quite get, you can't quite get to the level that you need to, give me a call, send me an email, and we'll set up a call. It's not going to cost you anything, but we'll figure out where you are, what you're struggling with, and how you can improve. Email me at TomHaines@sidebysideATC.com. It'll be in the notes. You can just click on it. Or go to sidebysideATC.com. That will also be in the notes. And you can set up a call on the website. Okay? I'm here. Use my experience. Use the fact that I was a lead. I was a radar instructor. I was a non-radar instructor. I've been an instructor at 4 different facilities. I've been a CPC at 4 different facilities. I've been a controller for 30 years, an instructor for 5. Use that experience. Call me. Like I said, we'll figure out where you are, and we'll figure out how to make you better. Okay? So, until next week, just remember, you don't have to go through this. You don't have to go through this journey by yourself. Have support around you. Family, friends. And if you need more support, I'm here. That's what I do. That's why I'm here. So that we can get through this, not by yourself, but you can get through this with someone with you, side by side. So until next week, goodbye.